the name of the church says, is it cold enough for you? Isn't it great how winter just comes in like a flood? Yesterday it snowed in an opossum track and was sticking to the car. Matter of fact, the flakes were so big they actually hurt me when they hit me in the eye. So it was kind of a sleet and snow. That's right, because it did thunder. It did. It thundered, and here goes the snow. But that's right. Never says how much. It feels funny with this thing being down here because I'm so used to it being. Yes. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to go ahead and get on with our service. And I know we've been talking about some tough issues. So tonight, I thought I was praying about that thing, and we can still go back to the other. But it just was so intense, and it was always just bam, bam, bam. I prayed about it, and in prayer, I thought or felt like that we could switch subjects for a little while. And so tonight, we're going to hit a good subject. Matter of fact, it ought to make you feel good. It's not a feel-good subject. It just makes you feel good if you hang on to it, and that's hope. When I do counseling, one of the biggest things I do when I counsel people is try to offer hope. Napoleon said that a leader is a dealer in hope, and his people were always loved him. His men loved him. They followed him to the grave, and the reason why is because he always offered them hope. And so it's one of the best things you can do to your family, to your friends, to yourself, is to offer hope. Also, Bethany has come back to stay with us for a while, so there's Bethany out there. Hey, Bethany. She's holding her head down like we're not going to notice her. I mean, did not notice her. So, Bethany, you'll be seeing Bethany with us. Unless she gets a job that has her out on Sundays and Tuesdays, you'll be seeing her from here on out for a while. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your authority. I thank you, God, that you're just an awesome God and that you're in total, absolute, complete control. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint in a very powerful way. Minister to every one of us, God, in such a way, Lord, that we'll know that you've been with us tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, how many brought your a cappella? So we can play a cappella tonight. It's Jeannie's anniversary. So Jeannie, go, and don't just go in the morning, go at night too. Take the whole day. Don't rush back here in the middle of your anniversary celebration to come back. And plus, last week there was a time she was supposed to have a day off, and she didn't have the day off. She was working. So go ahead, Jeannie. Take the whole day, take the night, go ahead and enjoy yourself. And so that's all. Pray that they have a good time. Celebrating their anniversary. Amen. How many years were they married now? 70 what? I mean, 36? 36? No, it's 32, right? It is 36. Okay, they've been married 36 years. They've been married longer than they've been single. Amen. Most of us in here have been married longer than we've been single. Amen. All right. Let's stand up and sing. We're going to sing have a little talk with Jesus. Ready? Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. Answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Go ahead. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He'll answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. All right. It's time to take our prayer request to the Lord. Does anybody have a special spoken prayer request you want to share with the congregation? Okay. Bless her. Okay. Ah, Carol Brock. Okay. Is that from her other stuff that she had, or her heart and stuff? Ah. Wow. Woo, okay. That's a scary feeling. Andrea Shoemaker. Hmm. Wow. Mm. Mm. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Cool. All right. All right. Remember our grandbaby, Summer. Summer has still got jaundice. She's not eating. Her levels are going up instead of down, and she's been under the light for quite some time. She's home now, and she has a heart murmur, and they're going to have to take her to a cardiologist. So remember Summer when you're praying for God to touch her too. Amen. Mm. Mm. That's right. Wow. Wow. Mm. Wow. Yes. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. Yes, that's amazing. Let's pray. Unspoken request. Amen. And I'm praying for Summer to come back, because we just had it a week ago. Yes, Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Father, you see these requests, Lord, spoken, unspoken alike, Father. Lord, this family, Lord, that's gone through this fire, Lord, and this family's gone through a loss. Father, Lord, Carol Brock, Lord, our granddaughter Summer, this little baby that Marina talks about, Lord, you see all these needs, Lord. We see your hand moving in their lives. We see you doing something special for them. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint. Have your will and your way, God, in their lives. Lord, lift them up, strengthen them, Father. Encourage them, Lord, and we thank you for it, God. We know, God, that you are more than able and capable, Lord, to take care of it. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. All right, bro, come on up here. Is there a plate around here? There they are.
We got to fill them up. Another time of the week we can come to your house and sing praises to your name and rejoice at the things you can do and just be blessed by the things that happen around us. And we pray for this offering, Heavenly Father, that it may be multiplied and through your word, not throughout only this community, but throughout the state, the nation, and the world.
Amen. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Oh, go ahead. Lead us. Oh, lead us. Okay. And it's her 3:10 in the other book. What's the name of it? The Solid Rock.
Well, you see what it starts out?
My hope is built. Righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all others are sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. That was awesome. That was awesome, brother. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. That's right. Did everybody get one? Did everyone get one? I'm glad your mind's working. I was getting Linda's car worked on, and they said, what year is it? And I said, a 93. And the guy called me and said, you mean there's a big difference in a 93 and a 2003? Well, I told him my cheese was slipping off my cracker. Praise God. Everybody got one? Sister Kid, you get an outline? Okay, everybody got an outline? Fine. Yeah, that's fine. Either way, as long as I know you got it. All right. Hope. Here's your assignment. Everybody knows what an acrostic is. Your assignment is to take that word hope and make something, an acrostic with it, or acronym, however you want to say it. Yeah. Hope. H is for, O is for, E is for, P is for, E is for. So that's your assignment. So maybe by next week, if you don't have it, we're not going to penalize you. But if you do have it, it'll be awesome that we can use it to describe what everybody thinks hope is. So just what you think hope is, whatever you think hope will be, you do that as a an acronym or acrostic, okay? All right, now, let's rip on this thing. It was a cold day on January 25th. Two gale force storms had already shattered the main mast of the ship. In the third month at sea, a third terrifying storm, a northeaster, caused the Englishman to fear for his life. He's writing this in his diary. So much that he writes, it was as if the great deep had already swallowed us up. Yet at the same time, on the same ship, during the same storm, there was a group of German Christians who were completely calm as they quoted the Psalms. According to young John Wesley, he was the one, their lack of fear unsettled him more than the storm itself. Wow. Have you ever been about to, you're being kind of shook up and somebody beside you is so calm that it kind of gets you? I remember doing a wedding one time and the groom was the calmest I'd ever seen. I'd never seen a groom this calm, and just something was so different that I wound up giving him the wrong ring. And I found out later why he was so calm. He had a .38 in his vest. And he was expecting somebody to start trouble. And so he was trying to be Mr. Slick. I said, from here on out, I'm going to have a metal detector. But when we have this has been like 20 years ago. But the guy was packing, and he said, I was ready to hurt someone if I needed to. So I'd have been the one to say, object. But his calmness actually made me nervous. The only time I can think of that somebody's calmness made me nervous was that day. How can we keep calm in the face of catastrophe? How can we be at peace when our lives are in peril? How can anybody all on the same ship, these guys right here on the same ship, they're all worried from the same raging storm. They're all tossed by the same raging, crashing waves. Yet one man feels frantic and the other one feels calm. I've seen families that they were facing the same thing. They had a family member that was dying or was very sick, or one that was in trouble with the law, or one that had done some crazy mess. And I see some of the family members just as calm and cool, and some of the other family members losing it. What's the difference? I can tell you what the difference is. It's hope. The Bible says that when our lives are anchored in Christ, we can know that the anchor will hold. Amen. So now, we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about hope. So you can say, well, man, how much can you talk about hope? Well, there's a long ways to talk about hope, but I'm not going to try to wear you out on hope, but at the same time, I want you to get a good grasp on hope, because this is the beginning of the year. There's some crazy things happening. I mean, it's like the gas prices are going down. At the same time, there's other things going up. China's economy is going crazy, and China is the second largest economy. They're causing problems for us. They're causing problems for the whole world. They're inflating what's actually going on over there, inflating the bad or deflating the bad stuff, inflating the good stuff. And it's kind of like having a balloon. And when that balloon pops, we're going to pop. And so not only that, but the whole world. And so there's a whole lot of things going on. And we've got Russia, who we used to be good friends with. Now Russia claims that we are a threat to their country. We're a threat to their economy. We're a threat to their country, their livelihood. So you know what that means. And you got overseas, you got ISIS all over everywhere, but you don't have all the countries helping us. And so that's kind of crazy. And now you've got some of the countries like Saudi Arabia, and I think it's Iran, they're at each other's throat right now. And so and so there's crazy mess going on. Plus, we got an election coming up. So there's a lot. But see, and this is here. Let's go to your outline. What an anchor is, or what an anchor is to a ship. Hope is to the soul. That's one of the biggest things to remember. when the Bible describes hope, they always describe it, or he always describes it as an anchor. So, what an anchor is to a ship, hope is to the soul. They both stabilize whatever needs to be held steady amidst the storms in our lives. They hold us still, they hold us steady, they keep us from drifting, they keep us from getting carried away, getting toted away. Every Christian has been given a source, a secure anchor in the person of Jesus Christ. For the Bible says about Jesus is, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And that's Hebrews 6:19. Let me read another version of that. Hebrews 6:19. Now, we have this hope as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. It cannot slip. It cannot break down under whosoever steps out upon it, a hope that reaches further and enters into the very certainty of the presence within the veil of Christ. So we know that when we've got the hope of Christ, we will not be shaken. It's an awesome thing. It's probably one of the best things I can think of when I catch myself getting concerned about what's going on around me or concerned about what somebody's going through. I have to stop and think, wait a second. I've got Jesus. You know, even to this day, there's times I have to tell Linda, when she's trying to do something, I say, Linda, remember, you have a husband now. We've been married 12 years, and she still sometimes she stops and goes, oops, that's right. I got a husband. And then she gives the weight to me, or gives the hard thing to me instead of trying to do it herself. The same way, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I have a hope. Jesus Christ, he's got this. Trust him. Okay? Y'all practice that one time. Say, he's got this. Amen. There you go. So now let me talk about some definitions. First, I'm going to talk about I'm not going to talk about the what is hope. I'm going to talk about hopelessness, but let's look at your outline again. The common view, let me say this, we've all been in the same boat that John Wesley was in. We've all been in it. We've all been in that boat. And we've been clouded up without thinking about hope. So the common view of hope in our culture is quite different than the Christian hope. It's entirely two different things. If you live by cultural hope, you'll have a boat full of wishful thinking. Matter of fact, what you hope for will sometimes happen, and sometimes it won't, if you're going to go according to the world. However, the Christian hope is based on the Bible, is based on God's unchanging word. If I'm basing my hope not on a set of circumstances, but I'm basing my hope on God's unchanging word, then now I've got something to hold on to. By patiently relying on what God says, you will have all the hope necessary with all the certainty you will ever need to face that need in your life. And so the Apostle Paul states that source of hope. And he says in Romans 15:4, it says, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Here's another version I like. For whatsoever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. Wow. So now, let's first talk about not what hope is. Let's talk about what hopelessness is. Anybody here ever been hopeless? Anybody here has ever had a hopeless situation? Everybody can raise their hand. We can raise both our hands. If I say right now, if you got a situation in your life, if your perception is off, if you got a situation in your life right now that seems hopeless, if your perception's off, yes. Your perception on how you see it. If I see it one way, it's one way. If I see it another way, it's sort of like the two guys that went west to sell shoes, and they had. I don't know, about 100 pair of shoes in the back of a covered wagon. And they're trying to go sell these shoes in the West. And they go in there parking in the prairie. And while they're parking in the prairie, one comes in and starts hollering to the other one who's just waking up and says, "What?" He says, "Look out the window." And there was hundreds of Indians around, circling around, getting ready to attack. Woo, 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 woo. And the guy says, "Look, look, look." He says, he looks out and says, "Wow, we're rich." All in perception. Okay? So here, what is hopelessness? Now, when the zealous religious leaders sought to kill the Apostle Paul, he went here and said, "Ho, ho, ho." He's got this wisdom. He says, "I'm a Roman citizen." And a Roman citizen could do something that nobody else could. He could appeal to Caesar. And so he knew that God was doing something special, so he appeals to Caesar. And because he appealed to Caesar, he soon finds himself a prisoner on a ship headed to Rome. So while he's on this ship headed to Rome, a treacherous storm arises, and they go weeks. It's just pitiful out there. I mean, they can't seem to, they've gone from trying to hold everything to now all hope is gone. Eventually, all on board lost all hope that they were going to be saved. So all on board believed that they were going to die. And the Bible said, read the Bible what it says. Now, this is amazing. It says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and a storm continued raging, we, and he's not French, we, monsieur, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." Of course, the Bible says that an angel stood by him this night and told him that you're not going to be hurt, neither are guys going to be hurt with you. You're going to have to go to Rome. You're going to stand before Caesar. So then there's his hope. He's ready to go now. But see, everybody else, they're still at a hopeless situation. So now, hopelessness is characterized by absolute despair. When somebody is hopeless, I had somebody, they were supposed to call me today. We were going to do some counseling, but I had somebody today, and y'all don't know who they are, so that's okay. But I've had people come to me before and tell me, "I've lost all hope," or "I've lost all faith." And that's sad. When somebody tells you, "I've lost all my faith in God." God, the Bible says that even the smallest things in this world knows there's a God. The microscopic things knows there's a God. And so you know, even atheists, when they get in bad situations, they're praying. I had a pastor one time that was a sergeant in the Air Force, and he was on a B-52, and he said, "When you find a B-52, those humongous wings are always doing like this." He said, "Well, we got into some bad turbulence one day," and he said, "Those wings were doing like this. We thought they were going to break off." And he said, in his flight crew, he had two atheists. They knew he was a preacher, and they ate him up all the time. Well, when they got going through this turbulence, he couldn't find two of his flight crew, so he's going looking for them. And he goes down and finds them below deck, hidden in a compartment, on their knees praying. Have you ever heard the saying, "There's no atheists in foxholes"? Yeah. So, again, hopelessness is characterized by absolute despair with no expectation of good. The Bible refers to those who only have a hope that perishes. Here it is, Job 8:13. "Such is the destiny of all who forget God, so perishes the hope of the godless." Hopelessness in the New Testament is conveyed by actually the Greek word apelpizo, or papizo, which is also translated despair. Now, apo means away from, and elpizo means to hope. So when you combine these two words together, they literally mean to be away from hope. Now, have you ever in your life felt like you were about as far away from hope as you could get? Whatever the situation is. It could be a situation on your job. It could be a situation in your own life. It could be a situation with a disease. It could be a situation with a kid. You know, I never stopped hoping when Bethany got arrested. I believed God was going to take care of it. And I honestly was believing it the whole time. But you know, Beth and I went there that day, and weren't that cool that day, Bethany, when the DA said, "I'm gonna drop all the charges." Well, I mean, that was awesome. And so that was hope. God's awesome. And I can think of other situations in our lives where it looked hopeless, but I knew God was going to handle it. It's like I was talking with somebody last night about Summer, one of our family members, and they were really, really down. And I told them, I said, I know that this really hurts you, but if you'll trust God, you'll see his hand move mightily. I believe that. And then I went around to the house and I held the baby and I anointed it with oil, prayed for it. And I still believe with all my heart that that baby's going to be fine. And no matter what, the baby's going to be fine. Again, we cannot get ourselves in hopelessness. We can be in hopeless situations, but we don't have to be consumed by the hopelessness in this situation. So now, hopeless thinking can result in a desire to die. A lot of people that commit suicide find themselves in a hopeless situation. We talked about suicide for 6 weeks, and the biggest thing was people had lost all hope. Those who feel hopeless are unable to envision any viable option for their problems, so death seems like the only solution. So a ship without an anchor is vulnerable on the open seas. Those aboard can lose hope of survival when a storm is severe, but in the midst of our personal storms, rather than drowning in a sea of hopelessness, the Lord calls us to put our hope in him. Let God take effect. Let God hold on to you. Let God bring you comfort. Let God bring you hope. The Lord calls us to put our hope in him, allowing him to be our anchor and rely on his promises. Let this be your personal prayer. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Psalm 119, verse 116. So again, that's some heavy stuff. So now, what is hope? I'm glad you asked. We didn't talk about hopelessness. Let's talk about hope. When we live with biblical hope, we have an anchored life. My friend, I'm going to talk a little bit about the world's hope and cultural hope, and I'm going to talk about the Christian hope. When we live in biblical hope, we have an anchored life. Have you ever seen somebody that actually they're sold out in God being their anchor? They're sold out on hope. They're sold out totally. Somebody give me an example in your life where people around you maybe, or the situation said, don't have any hope or lose your hope or you don't need the hope, but you hoped anyway and you saw God do something special. Anybody? Oh yeah, that was cool. Yep. I'm her seventh dad and her only dad. But it took seven to get to me. And mom was eight and only mom. It took eight to get to her and seven to get to me. Amen. All right. My mama was having some hard times with her heart. She was feeling sluggish. She went to Dr. Pugh. And Dr. Pugh says, there's something wrong with your heart. He said, I don't want you to go home. I want you to go straight across the street to Beaufort County Hospital, who did not have all this stuff they've got now. So I want you to go over there and let them check your heart out. Mama went home to Possum Track. And she went ahead and got her clothes and got everything straight, spent about an hour at the house. After Dr. Pugh says, go right now. Do not stop. They put her on the third floor. They waited for him to bring the truck so they could do a scan on her heart or do the catheterization and do the test. They kept her in there for a week. I said, Mama, you don't need to be here. You need to be in Pitt. She says, I'm fine. They'll be able to check on me if something goes wrong. I said, Mama, they don't have a heart monitor on you. You need to go to Pitt. She said, I'll be fine. I said, Mama, she had to check on me every hour. I said, rigor mortis could be set in. And so Daddy said, "Oh, it'll be all right, son. You're just wearing a worry ward." I said, "No, I'm being, it's the voice of reason." When they come and took her test, they wouldn't even do the catheterization because they needed a backup surgical team because she had 9 blockages in her heart. And so they had to do quadruple bypass surgery on her heart. And I can remember that day sitting in that room waiting, and all my family were sitting around crying. And I was smiling. Not because I'd taken anything. I was smiling. I had my Bible in my hand. And I was singing praises to God. And when she came out, I remember going in there. And I was there. I was their pastor and their son in Greenville. And so I remember going in there, and Mama really looked bad after that surgery. Not like that anymore. Now you don't quite look that way. But when she came out, I remember everybody really having a hard time. But I didn't like what I saw, but I still smiled. And somebody came to me and said, "Have you lost your ever-loving mind?" And I said, "No." I said, "This is called hope in God." So about 6 months later, she had to have another open heart surgery. And they said this time it wasn't going to be as easy as the last time. And so Mama and I are talking, and everybody, my sister's already said, "Mama, if you want to go ahead and let go and die, we'll be all right." I told my sister, "If that's what you call encouragement, leave." And my mama said, "Son, I had a dream," and I was in there by myself with her, saying a dream. All of our family, she knew all these family members, were up in the choir, and she walked up and got in the choir with them. I said, "Well, Mama, do you notice that a lot of people that are in that choir are not dead yet?" She said, "No." I said, "I believe the Lord's telling you that you're not going to die till they go." And so when they go in, I'll tell her goodbye before the surgery. There's a lot of crying, and I understand. I'm not crazy, you know, but they're all crying. And I'm still smiling. I mean, there's some people mad at me. When they go through the door, I hold my mama's hand and I walk all the way to the double doors. And the whole way, after everybody else had left, I kept telling Mom, "Mom, here's all I want you to say." She said, "What, son?" I said, "God's give you an assurance. He's give you hope. I want you to say, it's not my time yet." So all the way to the surgery, she kept saying, "It's not my time yet. It's not my time yet." And I just smiled, and Mama smiled. And when she went behind those doors, the last thing she looked with, how she said, "I love you," is, "It's not my time yet." Then later on, she had another surgery. And they put a pacemaker, defibrillator in. And then she lost her leg. And so she's in there with her leg, and then her defibrillator goes off 28 times. So she's in intensive care. My brother and my sister are in there talking around Mama. She's unconscious, and they're saying, "She's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to die. She's going to die. Oh, no, blah, 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 blah." And I walked up to him, and I said, "Do you realize she probably can still hear you? Do me a favor. Go outside." They said, "She's unconscious." I said, "You don't know that." So I walked over to her, and the first thing I said was, "Mama, it's not your time yet." And I smiled. And Mama opened her eyes and looked at me and smiled and says, "I know." Hope. 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 Hope will make you smile when everybody else is crying.
Brain was not functioning. Laying her eyes open, but she's not blinking. She may hear what you said, and she got my attention. And in her own way, said, "I'm going to function in this place." And she started writing her love letter.
That's awesome.
And the doctor said, "You know, she stayed functioning, and she all intents purposes, she's brain dead. She wrote the letter, writing her love letter." She lived on for several months and got out of hospital.
Wow, that's awesome.
I was with another one in Greenville, and I set up an ICU husband said, what did you say? She said, I'm starved to death. She said, he said, do you know who I am? She said, yeah, of course I know. You're my stupid husband. We're not wife. I mean, and this lady lived 10 more years out. Had to learn to walk again. We were there. They were actually making her people plan to go to her deathbed. And she said, I'm starved to death.
They were doing that with Mickey Ireland. They told us that we were at New Bern Hospital. She was in intensive care. They said she wasn't going to make it through the day. Everything she had was shutting down. And we were already making funeral plans. We'd already called the church. We were getting pallbearers. And I went back to see her. She looked at me and she could hardly talk. She had that respirator. And she looked at me and I said, what's wrong, Mickey? And she went, and she tried to say something. I said, you're telling me you don't want to die. She said, well, I'll tell you what. She said, huh? I said, don't. I did. I told her don't. And we prayed and went back outside. And then I felt stupid during her funeral because, I mean, I just told the lady, don't die. And, you know, we waited for 5 more hours. Finally, her daughter said, well, doctor needs to come by and let us know, since her kidneys are shutting down and everything, are they going to unplug her today? And so the doctor finally came by. She said, are you going to unplug her? And she said, why? And the doctor said, why? Said, everything she's got is waking back up. Said, matter of fact, she'll probably be out of intensive care in a day or two. And she was and lived 10 years. Yeah. So hope. All right. So now, when we live a biblical hope, we're held steady. And remember, I'm not sure where we're at. We're on the outline where we're at before I chase that rabbit. Why does hope? When we live a biblical hope, we have an anchored life. We're held steady in the storm, in the midst of any storm. But here it is, hope. Hope is often misunderstood. An accurate understanding of the meaning of hope is crucial. So watch this. The Bible says that when your hope is anchored in God, He will teach you His truth and lead you in the way you should go. This prayer is yours to claim. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all the day long. Psalm 25:5. So now, hope is identified as a cultural hope. Or hope that's identified as cultural hope or earthly hope is merely an optimistic desire that something will be fulfilled. Little Pollyanna. I hear people tell me that all the time. Linda loves to say that. She'll go, this is not Pollyanna. Or she'll go, I know you think I'm being Pollyanna. And I know when she's getting ready to tell me that, she's getting ready to step some kind of big old truth out that's going to be awesome. So I say, well, go ahead, Pollyanna, tell me. So, but this hope is not a guaranteed hope, because it's subject to change. It's subject to change through people, and it's subject to change through circumstances. Hope identified as a Christian hope is an optimistic assurance that something will be fulfilled. Now see the difference? Look at this. An optimistic desire that something will be fulfilled is a worldly hope. An optimistic desire. But a Christian hope is an optimistic assurance. There's a difference. I can desire or I can be assured. Which would you rather do, desire or be assured? Amen? So this hope is guaranteed hope, not subject to change, but rather anchored in our unchangeable Savior and Lord. So, hope in the New Testament is conveyed by the Greek word elpis, which means a favorable or confident expectation relating to the future. So now, although the Bible uses the word hope in both secular and spiritual terms, it does, the focus of our Christian hope is always based on the guaranteed promises of God. How many in here, when you could have been so rattled by the situation, and you hear somebody speak the word of God, and all of a sudden you feel a peace? I love it. You know, I can't quote Einstein and feel that peace. I can't quote Buddha and feel that peace. But I can sure quote God's word and feel that peace. It's amazing. God's word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it divides asunder even to the joints and the marrow. So it goes way on in there and it cuts deep. But the word of God is so powerful that you can take it in any situation and speak the word and watch something special happen. I've spoke the word before and in situations where I was really kind of having a hard time, or as a counselor or as a pastor, I've come upon people that are in a terrible situations, and I find the word of God that brings assurance in that certain situation, and I give the word of God to them. And I said, now I want you to stand on this word. This is your word. Daniel, when he was in Afghanistan, he called me and he said, Dad, we got a bad thing going on here. This is bad. He said, my guy said that somebody's going to die tomorrow. And this happened more than once. I remember one time I was telling Wayne, said, get your boy out of there. I couldn't. There's nothing I could do. I mean, it was kind of like you had to go through customs, you had to go through whatever, you had to wait for the flight, you had to wait, and he was stuck. And so I told my son, I said, Daniel, I can't get you out of there, but I can sure pray you safe there. And I said, I got church praying for you. And I said, but here's all I want you to do. He said, what do you want me to do, Dad? I said, I want you to quote this scripture. This is your scripture. I want you to quote it. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I want you to remember that. And I said, and if you have to fight, I want you to fight. Don't lay down. Fight. And so Daniel told me later on, he said, Dad, he said, I got in some rough scrapes. He said, but I can tell you one thing. I never ran. He said, I remembered that. I never ran. I said, son, running was not going to help you. I said, if you needed to run, run. But I said, but running was not going to help you in that situation. You needed to fight. But you had to hope in God you were going to be okay. And so Daniel told me on such things. I said, I want you to thank God every day for his divine favor. And so one day after he come back over here, I told him something. And I threw out a scripture and I threw out, thank God for his divine favor. And he said, Daddy, what do you think got me through Afghanistan? He said, I've lost my buddies over there. He said, but I tell you why I made it through, because I was thanking God for his favor and I was claiming that word. I was standing on the hope, hope, hope. And so, and didn't he do a good job Sunday on Nowhere Man? He told me, he said, are you sure you want that song played? I said, I am sure. He says, you know, that's not a spiritual song. And I said, it's perfect. I know, but I said, Daniel, the Lord gave it to me right down the road. I said, I could have read the words, but the words would not have had the same impact as you singing it. And he said, Dad, are you sure? He even asked me Sunday morning, are you sure? And I said, Daniel, I'm sure. Just sing it. Just sing it. And of course it was perfect, because I could read the thing. It weren't like you did it the Beatles way. If I'd had the Beatles doing it, then yeah, it'd have been bad. But the way it was perfect. Okay. But here we go. So now, hope in the New Testament is again favorable and a confident expectation related to the future. Where am I at now? I'm getting messed up here now. Here we go. We rejoice, Romans 5:3-5. We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And let me read this again. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produces patient, unswerving endurance. Do you know the difference in a piece of coal and a diamond? Pressure. A whole lot of it. So y'all might be saying, why am I under so much pressure right now? Just think. You're going from coal to a diamond. Some of y'all ought to be shining good right about now. So here we go. An endurance fortitude develops maturity of character, proved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So now, is there any questions?
I'll read you the one more.
Okay. Here we go. The acronym, have only positive expectations, hope, H-O-P-E. That's good. And then an acrostic, have no fear, know me. Oh, have no fear, not me, not you. Only faith which sees us through. Positive thoughts from God's own word. Expectations, your prayers are heard. Wow. That's awesome. You need to write that where we can read it and pass it out. Well, now. That's good. That's good. Does anybody else? Did anybody else think of one for hope? Wow. Oh, that's awesome. Wow, that's awesome. That's some good stuff. Anybody else started working on it yet? What was yours? That's cool. We got to write that down. Matter of fact, we'll make them all and put them on a sheet of paper and pass them out. If y'all think we can read them, then we'll make copies of them and pass them out. That's cool. Anybody else? Have only positive expectations. He took mine right out of my mouth. No, you didn't. I'm playing with you, Eddie. That's awesome. Have only positive expectations. That is awesome. All of y'alls are awesome. Hey, that's good too. Hey, that's awesome too. Wow, write that down. We're going to write these down. We're going to make a list. And before this is over with, we're going to pass out all these acronyms and acrostics to everybody. That'll be awesome. Okay. So is there more questions? Any more thoughts? Anything you want to say? I know we're all cold. I know it's been. I don't know about y'all, but it's been a tiring week. Been a very tiring week. We just got started. But praise God, it's almost halfway. It's not hump day, it's hallelujah day. Have only positive expectations. That's an awesome one. So anybody else? Let's see. Look right here. Well, these are not Christian ones. It's history of political economy. Hospital outcomes project. I mean, there is one decent one, I reckon. Helping other people excel. All right, let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, that we can have hope in every situation. Lord, I thank you, God, that as we go into this, that we're going to get some good stuff that we can use to help other people, including ourselves and our spouses and our children. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to look to you, Father, above all, knowing that you're in total, complete control. In the name of Jesus.